Our text for today is from our Gospel, Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. In the name of Jesus, how many of you as a child were deathly afraid of storms? Growing up, at least in the Midwest, in the Plains State, we can have some pretty hellacious storms. Wind, rain, thunder, lightning, all of it goes together. Enough to make the kids run into mom and dad's bedroom and stand at the side with big saucer eyes while the parents would just like to continue sleeping. Enough to send the dogs wailing and howling and scamping around the house. Storms can cause quite a ruckus. Have you ever thought that there might be more to it than just the fact that they can be damaging in this light, that lightning can kill you, that tornadoes and earthquakes can take home and wife and life? Have you ever thought that there might even be more of a spiritual connection to the fact that we have such things even in this life, in this sinful world? Lightning, as Jesus describes it, will take place, and not just a small little flash. Lightning, probably the likes that we have never seen of, will precede his coming one day, and it will be a time to strike fear into every heart. You remember, of course, through our long reading we had in the Old Testament for today, the Israelites, correct? They were saved by 10 miraculous signs that God did there in Egypt to rescue them from cold, evil-hearted Pharaoh. And God continued to do even more than that, parting the Red Sea, sending a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day, and he brought them there out of Egypt through the Red Sea to the base of a mountain, Mount Sinai, where, if you remember from Scripture, the glory of God descended with, can you guess, lightning, thunder, rumbling. And the people, as they arrived at the base of the mountain, were scared, and rightly so. But as we learn from our reading today, they didn't stay scared very long, did they? Moses went up on the mountain with Joshua, as God has requested him, spent some time, about 40 days, give or take, interesting number through Scripture. And as Moses is up there with God, receiving what we know as the Ten Commandments, or at least we assume that was on the first set as well, the people grow restless. They cease to fear God. They cease to recognize how bad their sin really is. And they turn elsewhere. They turn away from the one true God, from knowledge and fear of him, and instead they take all of their jewelry, melt it down, and Aaron, a pastor, is complicit in this. He leads them in this. So we must beware. Not just lay people, but pastors alike can fall into such a trap of failing to recognize the penalty for sin, of recognizing the precarious situation that we live in this life as sinful people. We've been talking a lot about Martin Luther lately. Most of our Bible studies have centered around the Reformation and the work of Martin, dear Dr. Luther, and many of the others, and rightly so, for next year is the 500th anniversary of the nailing of the 95 Theses. But don't put old Martin too high on a pedestal either. You might recall when he was a young man and had studied much already, he was traveling, and as he was traveling, a great storm arose, so much that lightning struck close by, throwing him to the ground. Do you remember who this strong Christian supposedly cried out to? It was not the one true God. "Satan," he cried out, "help me, save me. And if you do so, Saint Anne, I will become a monk." So where do you turn in times of difficulty? When the storms rage in your life, where do you place your hope? Whom do you fear? Next week is the last Sunday in the church year. It reminds us that the end of all things is coming. This is something we should take in a sober way, and we should be quite mindful of. There is a storm coming, the likes of which you have never seen. And when Christ returns in his glory, he will separate the sheep from the goats and pronounce judgment. Matthew 24 goes on to talk just about that. So where will you be when this storm arrives? On which side of the eternal judge will you stand? David says in Psalm 130, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?" The storm is coming. How does the weather look for you? Jesus tells us that it's not a time that is filled with hope and joy. Quote, "At that time," Jesus says, "the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all of the nations of the earth will mourn." Jesus says it's not a time for parties and celebrations. There won't be gloating and smirking, for all, A-L-L, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus then says this, "Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak." And even how dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. You see, when Christ returns in glory, it is the end of the world. It is too late to change your mind. It's too late to decide that all the things you heard and should have learned are actually taking place. So what will you do before God? You can't smile and say, "Aw, shucks, I didn't really mean it, or I meant to do better." You can't moan and cry and promise you'll do better next time because, well, there won't be a next time. When Christ comes again in glory, it is the end of all things. Right after the sermon, we'll do it again today, we normally sing some of the words of Psalm 51 in the offertory. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Pay attention to those words today as you sing them. For this is our prayer here in time, awaiting the last day, and it is our prayer at the last day. You might remember that it was also David's prayer after he had been caught committing adultery with Bathsheba and murdering her husband. You see, our lives as Christians, our entire lives from start to finish, are lives of sin and repentance. And our lives are continual failures before Almighty God. We cannot do anything right in God's eyes. We can't perform up to the standard that God sets for us, the standard of perfection, of righteousness, of holiness. We can't serve and obey or honor and respect as God commands us to do. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Scripture says there is no one who does good, no, not one. And that's us. And for that, what we deserve is lightning and storm. We deserve to be left quaking in our boots and even confined to the gates of hell itself. This is what you and I, as the Israelites, deserved. But yet God relents. For the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, for the sake of the promise he made to Abraham, Isaac, and to all of his offspring, God relents. And for the sake of Christ, he forgives you all of your sins. For the sake of Christ, who suffered and died upon the cross, you are forgiven. Jesus came and gave his life for your life. And he, as such, is the perfect sacrifice. And we know that God the Father accepted Christ's sacrifice for us because Christ rose from the dead. And because, as Scripture says, he cannot die again. Jesus now makes sure in teaching us that we know that there is only one Lord Jesus Christ, that we train ourselves and train our children and those around us to look to him in the storms of our life, Be careful, Jesus says. There are lots of false Christs and lots of false prophets. Be on your guard, Jesus warns. Don't look for Christ out in the wilderness in some faraway place. Don't look for Christ hidden away in some inner room, nor is Christ hidden in your heart, as many Christian denominations still teach today. Christ has promised you where he will be. And that's where you need to look for him when the lightning flashes and the storms roll. Your Lord Jesus has promised to be here, in with and under simple bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. Here he is. The Lord Christ has promised to be wherever two or three are gathered in his name, where his word is read, where his word is preached. Jesus, your Savior, has promised to be with you always in the waters of holy baptism. So look for him where he may be found. Fitting that this day we welcome many new members who have looked and likewise found him here with us in word and sacrament. And that's what church is really about. It's not about all the activities and groups and things that we do and fellowship. That's all fun and good, but it's about finding Christ where he promises to be found. And when we have thus received the Lord Jesus, we proclaim, even with Simeon, the Nunc Dimittis, now depart. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, Simeon sang, for your word has been fulfilled. You see, these songs of Scripture are your songs. The salvation given to those of old, the saints before, is that given to you. And as such, well, you're ready to die. That beautiful song of Simeon doesn't mean that you're ready for church to finally be over or maybe die right now, but it means that in Jesus Christ, we've seen the fulfillment of God's promises. And we can and will weather whatever storms come our way. The end of all things is near. And each Lord's Day, as we gather here in his house, we rejoice that our Lord Jesus Christ has carried the burden of our sin to the cross and there paid the price for our forgiveness. Each Lord's Day, we are reminded that God the Father poured out his wrath, not upon us, but upon his only begotten Son, and that we are forgiven. Earlier we heard from Psalm 130, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? And the psalmist continues, but with you, O Lord, there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Let us fear him and fear our sin and tremble in holy reverence and yet with graciousness and compassion accept the gifts he has and serve our neighbor, for weather can be nasty. Storms in our life are constantly brewing. And while even the vultures of despair and hopelessness gather about us, we have time. We have time to reflect on our misbehavior. And the effect of storms upon earth show that we haven't done what we should do, but thanks be to God in the midst of all that. Thanks be to God, for we are redeemed by Jesus Christ and by him alone. And his promise to you that he will bring you safely through all the storms of your life, even death and judgment day. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. In the name of Jesus. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.